the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and tips and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. And you click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down, look for our graphic, Question Reality, and you click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page, and that is where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and also on a website called Stitcher.com, which is quickly becoming the number one internet radio station across the world. So you want to check that out, Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.com. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, want to know who's coming on up until the end of the year, you have to go to our official website page, and that's called QuestionRealityShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. I don't even know my own name. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. And that'll give you all the guests that'll be on for the rest of the year. So as we have on every week, wonderful, fantastic, incredible guests. This week is not an exception. It is a rule. And Frank, I hope I pronounce his name right. He's going to kill me if I don't, but I'm going to give it my best shot. It's Frank Ferruccio. Oh, my God. He's going to kill me. I don't know. I hope
it's
I didn't
butcher.
It's close. Okay. Why don't you say it, Frank?
It's Ferruccio.
Woo, Ferruccio. Now, Frank is a novelist, a screenwriter, and an actor, and he's going to be joined today by, I believe, and I just found this out, that's why I don't have this information, but he's going to be joined today by an actress that is in his latest film. And Frank, give us her name.
Haley Heisick.
Haley Heisick. Ooh, how do you spell her last name in case we want to look her up on IMDb?
She's on right now, so she can actually spell it out for you.
Ah, you don't. Hey, Haley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My last name is spelled H-E-I-S-I-C-K.
H-E-I-S?
S-I-C-K.
Okay, CK. So we got that. So people, you want to look her up on IMDb. That's how you spell it. Anyway, let's go into, I want to tell you about a product. Before we talk to Frank and Haley, you can go to his website and check him out. His website is Frank, and the last, I'll spell it for you, FrankFerruccio.com. FrankFerruccio.com. Go there now and check it out while I do my advertisement. And he's also available on IMDb, as well as actress Haley Heisick that's on with us today. So while you're doing that, I want to talk about this incredible new app that a friend of mine has developed. And I'm telling you, I am so not promoting this because I'm being paid to promote this. I love this app. It is so important. I just got to tell you about it. It's called You Can Fight. And it's only $1.99. And this is an app that I feel truly every woman needs to get immediately. And even if you're a man, I mean, you want to get this app. And what it is, it features short essay video lessons, easy video lessons that can teach you how to defend yourself against the four common attacks that happen to women every day. And, you know, man too. I don't want to eliminate the man, but mostly to women. And if you really don't know how to physically defend yourself, you know, these attacks can be really devastating and possibly fatal. So, you know, I really want everyone to take precautions and be proactive and learn how to defend yourself, whether it's going to a dojo and learning some techniques. But this particular app, I think, is such a necessity if you're a woman. But again, it couldn't hurt to learn these simple life-saving steps if you're a man either. And I really, truly believe this app product is really going to help and possibly save someone's life. And I sincerely endorse this app. I watched it and I was blown away. I said, oh my God, this is so necessary for women. Just keep watching it over and over until you can really memorize these moves and help yourself. Really, trust me, you will feel so much more empowered once you get it and practice it. And they're really simple, easy steps. So tell your girlfriends, your daughters, your wives, or any other woman or person that you love and want to protect and want to help protect, and get that app. It's called You Can Fight. And it's available at the App Store, the Apple App Store, and Google Play for Android phones. So, oh, you could also go to their website, which is youcanfightapp.com. youcanfightapp.com. I so believe in this product. I'm telling you, oh, it's awesome. Really incredible. It was created by Helen Anzalone, who is a third degree black belt martial artist. So she knows what she's talking about. She is the woman. Very scary. She is. She's a fighter. Okay, let's get back to our guest today. Again, now let me tell you a little bit about Frank. Frank has enjoyed a prolific and extensive career with many sectors of the entertainment industry. He's a film archivist, screenwriter, actor, and author of a preeminent biography and biopic on the late actress Jane Mansfield, and that's entitled Diamonds to Dust, The Life and Death of Jane Mansfield. And it's set to be released in 2014. And he, in the past, he had worked with, I believe it's pronounced Luganatic Filmworks, and he performed research and development tasks for the firm. But while he was working there, he worked with one of my favorite bands from the day, back in the day, the 80s. Actually, she started in the 70s, but in the 80s, Joan Jett of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And what he did was he used his skills to assist and develop in the production of the albums Naked and Sinner. And he also contributed his research and his screenwriting skills to her as well. And then in 2009, he founded Frank Ferruccio Enterprises, which he is the sole owner and operator. And this company works within the motion picture industry to provide significant services to clients, which includes film archiving, film preservation, entertainment management, and freelance consulting with regard to client projects. So that sounds like a very exciting job to have. Very, very entertaining. Never get bored with that job, I would imagine. Now, Frank is also an actor, and he has appeared on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, as everybody knows. You know, that's one of my favorites. TV Land Myths and Legends. And recently, he was on another one of my absolutely favorite shows, Blue Bloods. And he's also done many programs for the BBC, like Living Famously and Arena Blondes. And again, this past spring, I want to reiterate this, he finished production on the new biopic, James Mansfield, again, Diamonds to Dust. And that, of course, is based on his book of the same title. And again, I want to tell you, it's going to be released in 2014. So you want to keep an ear to the ground for that. So without further ado, let's find out about Frank. Oh my God, happy Father's Day. I don't know if you're a father, but if you are, happy Father's Day and welcome to the show, Frank.
Thank you, Priscilla. Thanks for having me as a guest.
You are so welcome. You were referred by one of my favorite people in the whole world, Stephen Levine of Grapevine PR, who gives me the best guests. He sends the best guests, and you are no exception. I was so blown away when he sent me an email and said, would you be interested in having this guy on your show? And I'm like, oh my God, all you had to do was say Jane Mansfield. She is like one of my icons, like Jean Harlow, Betty Davis. I mean, Jane Mansfield. I mean, my God. And I think that's one of the reasons why I started watching Special Victims Unit, because I wanted to see Mariska Hargitay, which is her daughter. Most people know that, but just in case no one does. And thank God I did, because she's just an incredible actress. So let's start from the beginning, Frank. I always start out with this particular question because people want to know how you get from point A to point B. When little Frank was a child, what did you want to do when you grew up?
I really had no clue at all. I was very creative, and I did like film a lot from an early age. So I would say it would have to have something to do with either the automotive, because I'm also a big car buff, classic cars, and you know, and or, you know, something to do with the movies. I didn't know what that was because I was shy, believe it or not, at one point, and I couldn't even think about being in front of a camera. So I was thinking about, you know, a career behind the camera and doing something technical like that. But you know, I went out to California and I gave it a try.
Did you share when you were a child, did you share this information with your family? And if so, were they supportive of your decision?
I did. And I think I've always been looked at as the unrealistic dreamer of the family. You know, Italian, Roman Catholic, get a job, you know, punch a time card. You know, be
get
a mason.
Get your gold watch.
Yeah, exactly. Be a mason, spin pies, you know, do something. Jersey, because I am in Jersey. I have to say.
You're from Jersey?
Yeah, I'm a Jersey boy.
Back in the day, that's where all the best parties were. I was stomping over from Connecticut to Egg Harbor. Was it Red Bank and then Egg Harbor?
Jersey still is the best party state. It really is.
Oh, yes. Hell yes. At least in the 80s and 90s.
And that was my party time as well. But I still keep very active in the New York, New Jersey scene. You know, New York is one of the best cities. Actually, my favorite city in the whole wide world.
Of course, mine too. Now, when you say you graduate from high school, and did you go to college? And if so, what did you major in? Was it related to film?
No, at first it wasn't. I didn't, you know, I just kind of went to appease my parents. They wanted me to get a degree in business, you know, and get, you know, a job that was, you know, on paper, black and white, 9 to 5. And, you know, they wanted me to have a business degree. And, you know, that really, you know, is what I did in my early part, you know, of the learning process of life. And, you know, I had an opportunity early on to actually get a job working for Joan Jett, her record label and film company, Blackheart Records and Lagunatic Filmworks. And I learned a lot. You know, that was my first real career job in the entertainment field.
Was this during, was this before, during, or after her big hit, I Love Rock and Roll?
Oh, this was way after.
Okay.
This is way, way, way after. She already has had built an empire, you know, with her catalog of music. So.
Oh, I had no idea.
This is my first, you know, people think that she's just known for I Love Rock and Roll, but I mean, she's got a catalog of hits that, you know, will keep her wealthy the rest of her life.
Really? Who are some of the artists and what are the songs just that you know of?
I mean, just the songs herself.
Oh,
the,
I
the
see.
The ones
I
that
see.
She wrote, like Crimson and Clover and
yeah.
Bad Reputation, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. she's had tons of hits. And,
Got it. So she started a company, which was it a multimedia production company, like film?
Yes. And, you know, I got to learn a lot through that job. The glamorized, you know, because it always looks so glamorous when you're looking at a career in movies or a career in the recording industry. And I got to see the gritty part of it.
Oh, my God. See, I'm all about the gritty part. I want my listeners to know because people go pursuing these careers and they think they're going to be walking down the red carpet in 5 minutes. Tell us, give me the scoop in reality of what one could expect working at a company similar to this.
It's tough. You do things from picking up dry cleaning for that celebrity or your boss, you know, to getting their car washed, to washing their car, I mean, to emptying the trash. I mean, you start at an entry level in the industry, you start at the entry level. I mean, there's no, you want a career in the entertainment industry, you start sharpening pencils and cleaning up messes, you know. You start
and you better
at the very
be
bottom.
Happy doing it. You better
yes,
have
with
so
a big smile
advantage.
Because there are 10 people just waiting,
yep.
you know, outside
they're
the door for your job.
They're waiting to take out that trash and make that
yes,
coffee.
They are.
And they might
yes,
have a bigger,
are.
Brighter smile than you, so you better be loving your job, or at least you better be a damn good actor and pretend like
absolutely, it. Where that also my acting skills bring perfection as well.
You need to go to acting classes. You just work for one of them, and you can learn how to act.
You can learn a real lot. You know, I've learned a lot through my life experiences and, you know, meeting different celebrities. As you said, Law & Order SVU is one of your favorite shows. And I've been friends with Mariska Hargitay since, you know, I was about 16 years old.
Now, how was that to be? Was that because, I guess we're going to lead into that. And I've got a ton of questions. And
sure.
I have them in order. And I'm going to try to stay on topic because there's some sort of logic to it. But I don't want to jump too far. I want to talk, though, about, okay, so we're 16 sounds like a good place to start. So you're 16 years old. And were you fascinated with Jane Mansfield before or after you met Mariska Hargitay? How did you meet her, et cetera, et cetera?
It was, I was a huge Jane Mansfield fan. And the only reason that I met her was actually through the fan club president back then of the paper fan club, Sabin Gray. He actually brought me, and this is like an unrealistic thing because he, you know, when a star that you love is dead, you know, there's no closer, you know, way of being near them than to meeting their flesh and blood.
Right.
And he took me to Mickey Hargitay's home way up, you know, on Sunset Plaza, way up in the Hollywood Hills, and introduced me to Mickey Hargitay, his wife, Ellen, Mariska, Zoltan, and Mickey Jr. all at once. And it was like, wow.
Oh my gosh. Now, before you get to this point, why Jane Mansfield? Was it because of her, you know, physical appearance? Was it her work? What was the fascination with her, say, opposed to Betty Davis, Jean Harlow, Marilyn Monroe? Why Jane Mansfield?
I was a Monroe fan. Actually, Marilyn was like, my parents were older. My mom had me when she was almost 50. So they used to watch movies of their genre, mm-hmm. of their age, and they were all old black and white movies. My mom loved Marilyn. So I learned about Jane from Marilyn, and there wasn't much to learn. Before the internet, you couldn't learn anything.
Right.
You know, there was nothing available.
Right.
So what I did was, you know, I tried to find books, which there were none in print about Jane, but eventually I found a library that had a copy, and I started to read about her life, and I found that I found it very interesting that she was such a extremely intelligent woman, and yet she became a huge star by playing a dumb blonde.
Right.
And that intrigued me.
Yeah.
And I had to learn more. So I've been a fan ever since. And you know, I've had the good fortune of, you know, meeting everyone in her family.
So when you met them, what did you do? Was it like so overwhelming?
It was.
What'd you do?
I was very quiet. And I didn't say anything at first. I just kind of, you know, observed. I let the fan club president do the talking. And Mariska, you know, she was cool. She was like, you know, like California chick. It was the 80s. You know, she was kind of...
Was she working in the business then or no?
Not yet. No, okay. She was not. And, you know, she really at that point didn't even think about the whole thing about acting. She was really cool, and, you know, she was like, why are you so nervous? Like, she was just like, she's very outgoing and friendly, and she's like, you know, what's the deal? Like, why are you being so? And I'm like, because your mother was Jane Mansfield, you know? Like, I couldn't get over that. And for Mariska, you know, Mariska was only 3 when her mom died. You know, she didn't really have any pertinent memories of her mother, unfortunately. So
now, was Jane Mansfield known as the sweater girl? Was that her, or was that another star?
Yes, no. Jane Russell was the original sweater girl, but Jane Mansfield was definitely like in the top 10 with Marilyn. She's usually mentioned right behind Marilyn. When you look at the list today of the most voluptuous, the most beautiful women, she's usually second or third behind Marilyn.
Right. And for the people that don't know this, what is Jane Mansfield? What is her most famous movie that she was in, and who did she star with?
Her most famous movie would be The Girl Can't Help It, and that was with Tom Yule, who was actually Marilyn's co-star from The 7 Year Itch, which was one of her most popular movies.
Mm-hmm.
And also Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter, on which she did the play on Broadway, and she also did the film version. That actually gave her an opportunity in the film world by playing a Marilyn-type character on Broadway first. She became a huge success and then was offered a huge, you know, movie picture deal in California.
Right.
So it was actually kind of because of Marilyn that she got her start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you being one of the foremost experts, I've been told, tell us some things about Jane Mansfield that we may not know, the general public may not know.
I think there's a lot of things that people don't know. You know, she's been, you know, dead longer than she lived. She died when she was 34, and she's been gone, you know, over 47 years. And a lot of people have no clue who she is, which is so sad to me. And, you know, that's why I wanted to make this movie.
Oh, first, right?
I wrote two books about Jane. Then I wanted to make the movie because I wanted to do everything in my power to make
keep
sure
the memory
that,
alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was a legend. She was an incredible woman. She had an IQ of 163.
Woo!
She could speak fluently in 5 languages.
What? I did not know
that. Wait, I'm not done yet. She could play the piano and the violin a concert pianist and violinist. Like, she was determined to be a star of some form at some point in her life.
Wow.
And it's, to me, it's irony that she became a star, you know, or known for being a dumb blonde when she was absolutely a genius.
Right. Yeah, well, same thing with Marilyn Monroe. Nobody gives her credit, but she was actually, you know, kind of a smart woman, I hear. So I think that was just the stereotype back in the day. And I think they liked them to play down their intellect because I think, again, I don't know, but I think that men kind of didn't want to be challenged by the woman's intellect back in those days. So they kind of wanted them to act real, you know, lickety lollipop. So, That's my theory.
What made Jane extra special was that, you know, Jane was like, I would say, the Madonna of that period. Mm. She liked to push the envelope. Mm. She liked to shock people.
Right.
She got her career or known for her physical attributes, mm-hmm. and she used them for, she was a very smart woman, which helped her market herself. She knew how to market herself. And,
right.
And no. Like Madonna, you know, being a billionaire today, you know, very few people, you know, knew that, like, when Jane passed away in 1967, her estate was worth about $2 million, which was like 20, 30 million today. Mm-hmm. Where Marilyn Monroe, when she died in 1962, her estate was only worth $150,000.
What?
So you could see the difference between the two women, because you know why? The movie stars didn't make the money back then. The studios made the money.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane didn't make her money from her movies. She made her money from her personal appearances and from performing in Las Vegas.
Mm. Got it. Smart.
And she was very smart. She knew that, you know, she also had 5 children. You know, how can you be a sex symbol and have 5 children and still be considered one of the most voluptuous, beautiful sexual women? You know, she was amazing, way ahead of her time.
Now, am I correct? Now, again, I'm just going from memory here, but was there something, and I'm trying to remember, was there something where, is she the actress that was on trial for killing her husband or something like that?
No, that was Lana Turner.
Lana Turner. Okay. I knew that she was blonde and
gorgeous. It was Lana Turner's daughter who was having an affair with her mother's boyfriend, and she stabbed him, and Lana Turner took the blame for her daughter because she was 16 years old.
Oh, God. Oh,
big
my God.
Scandal.
It's like a whole film that I saw back That actually was a film. What was that called? The one where the woman, she was so good to her daughter, and her daughter was like a little bitch, and she went with she started.
There's so many films like that.
Oh, my God. And she took blame because she killed it. Oh, my God.
Well, Mildred Pierce with Joan Crawford.
That's the one. Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I just so appreciate you telling us about Jane Mansfield. Now, you wrote 2 books. Now, we know the one's called Diamonds
to Dust. The other one is called Did Success Spoil Jane Mansfield, which is, you know, a haiku of her most successful play/movie, Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? And that's a 352-page picture-filled biography with a lot of unknown facts and unpublished pictures.
Wow. So, now, where can we get these books?
They're both on Amazon.com. You can order them, BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
You can find used copies on eBay now. I look on there and I'm like, oh, I'm on eBay now, you know. It's like
I like it. Hey, it's better to be on eBay than to not be on eBay.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. So you know, the next project was this film, which has been a lifelong dream.
Excellent. Tell us about
a film.
Is it exactly, does it follow the story Diamonds to Dust exactly, or did you?
It's actually a combination of the 2 books. And there was a movie made about Jane back in 1980, a TV movie with Lonnie Anderson and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, really?
It was called The Jane Mansfield Story.
Okay.
And I love Lonnie Anderson to death. I know her personally. She's one of the most beautiful and sweetest women, but she didn't capture Jane. And Jane's very special, and Jane is an extremely complex, hard woman to play. So, you know, that I considered the biggest challenge was to find an actress that could play Jane Mansfield, you know, and it was really tough. I was like, should I go with, you know, a name? Should I go with an unknown? I went both routes. I fished, you know, through people that were interested, and, you know, I actually auditioned 600 actresses.
Oh, my God! Are you serious? How long did that take?
It took about a year, and the woman that won my heart and won the role is on the other end of the phone.
It's Haley.
Haley Heisick.
Yay! Welcome, Haley.
Oh,
well, how does it feel to win the heart of one man, and when the film comes out, millions of men?
Oh, you know, it's just it's overwhelming, really. I don't quite know how to handle that.
Wow. So go ahead, Frank. Tell us how we came to have Haley on the project.
Well, you know, the part needed to be played by someone who really, really was a solidified actress. Now, what I love about Haley, okay, I auditioned so many women that had the figure, that had the large bust size, the hips, tiny waist, but, you know, they were all imitations, and you know, you could just feel the fakeness, like the fake boobs and the fake dumbness and the orange blonde hair and the cheapness. And, you know, I wanted someone really classy. It was an impossible task because I needed somebody classy, somebody talented, and somebody extremely beautiful, and someone who had a body. So that's a really hard role to cast. And, you know, Haley, there was just something there, you know, she had the body, you know, she in this movie, she actually wears, because I've been a collector for so long,
mm-hmm.
She wears 34 of Jane's actual outfits.
Wow!
And they did not have to be tailored at all.
Oh.
They fit her exactly. And you're talking about a woman who was like a 42 bust, a 24 waist, a, you know, 38 hip span, you know, and was just bigger than life glamazon. And Haley tried on a dress, and I mean, Haley already was cast, but the day she came for her wardrobe fitting, I couldn't believe that I didn't have to do anything. Like, she just zipped them right up like they were her own.
That is awesome. You knew it. It was like she put her foot in the Cinderella slipper. That's it.
Yeah,
that
was it was kismet. It really was. It was kismet.
So you mentioned that you not only are using Jane's actual clothes, but I heard that you also are using furniture and props in the film, which were hers as well. So my question is, yay, but how did you get a hold of these things?
Well, I've been a collector for over 30 years, and I've had the good fortune of coming across a lot of items that belong to Jane, a lot of jewelry. The majority of the jewelry that Haley wears in the film was Jane's. And Jane, you know, Jane wore a lot of, like, diamonds and rhinestones, and like most celebrities of the time, she had professional copies made because they didn't want to wear the $300,000 necklace, you know,
right.
So they would
right.
have a copy made and they would wear the copy. So I'm lucky enough to own all of her copies.
Now let me ask Haley. Haley, when mm-hmm. you wore these costumes, because most of the time as an actor, when you know you can get into the part, blah blah blah, but then when you mm-hmm. put on the clothes, it really helps with the transformation process into the character. Did that happen for you? Which I know it did. And then, if so, how much? How did it help you become Jane Mansfield, portray Jane?
It was just so incredible. Like Frank talked about, we didn't have to do any alterations. And when it came down to her rings and her shoes, they fit me as well. I mean, it was just like putting on a second skin, really. Mm. For 3 months, you know, I eat, breathe, and slept, you know, next to her things. And it was just a really special experience. It's something I've never gone through before.
Had you
known? Her spirit really just permeated me at all times.
Had you known, had you been a Jane Mansfield fan before or known anything about her, or did you learn as the process went along?
I knew of her, you know, being like a blonde bombshell type myself. I was aware of her, but I didn't know anything about her life. Mm-hmm. Once I met Frank, I dove into it. I had about 7 weeks to watch every film and read every book and just really dedicate all of my time to that. And now I'm a massive fan. I have so much respect for her. I really do.
Did you feel that it was a cathartic experience for you? How has it changed you working on this film? In what ways?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of opportunities to play strong women, but I've never had to step into the shoes of a legend. She mm-hmm. had to deal with so many things, so many people in her life trying to take advantage of her, but she pushed through, and she's really just inspired me to be a better person for myself, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do you feel were the highlights of the film that we should look out for when we watch the film? What do you feel are really things for us to really, you know what I mean? What do you feel are the highlights?
Well, I would have to say it's between two different things. The highlights for me are whenever we recreated a scene from a film or something very specific that happened in her life, because Frank has done his best to make this film as true to life as possible. But what's exciting for me as an actress is to take everything that I learned about her and kind of translate that into the private moments, which nobody saw. I think that's also another major highlight of the film.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you're internalizing and, of course, externalizing right there on camera. He really gets some of the private looks, the moments,
absolutely.
The intimate moments. Okay.
You know, and I wanted to make this film something that people who knew nothing about Jane at all, I wanted it to be interesting to the masses. So that's why I picked a director. Rob Villano is the director. I'm the producer, but he is the director. And he's also the director of cinematography on the film. And he's a master. He gets the camera angles. You know, he's a fan of old film. And I knew that he could actually, you know, it's one thing to give a Mansfield fan the license to make a movie about the woman, but you have to make it interesting to someone who knows nothing about Jane Mansfield. And I
right.
knew that by picking Rob would just make this a really entertaining film, you know, because, you know, you face it, it's going to be like a chick flick, most mainly, and guys are going to be dragged with their girlfriends or their wives to go and see it. So, you know what? I think that Rob brings in an element of, you know, interest for them, too. I mean, besides the obvious physical attributes of Haley, you know, and Haley, like, wearing Jane's bikini, you know.
Oh, my Lord. That's going to bring men. They're gonna come by themselves. They're not going to bring any women or girlfriends. They're coming by themselves. Now, question, is this movie going, I assume this is a feature, correct?
Yes, it's going to be a theatrical feature.
And it's coming out in 2014. Now, is this coming out to film festivals, or do you have distribution in theaters?
We are going to debut it at the film festivals in order to ensure the best distribution deal possible, because I have had offers for distribution with fairly large companies, like Lionsgate Films.
And wow.
Then that's big. That's big.
And why did you turn it? Did you turn it down?
I did not turn that down. But of course, you know, any kind of interest that you get is based on a script. Mm. And if you're making the movie yourself, they want to see the finished product. And nobody has seen the finished product yet, you know? Oh. So I want everyone, that's why the festivals are so great, because all the big studios, all the big, you know, movie companies that are looking for acquisitions, profitable properties, they all go to the festivals. They're looking for movies to make money. And, you know, like, I think it was this year, you know, there's a movie called Lovelace based about, you know, Linda Lovelace, the porn star that was tortured by her husband. Mm-hmm. And it has, you know, Amanda Seyfried.
Yes, Seyfried. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and James Franco and Sharon Stone. And that's an indie. It's a full-on indie, just like us. And there was a bidding war for that film at Sundance, and I think it got a record, like, $50 million distribution deal.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, anyone who is doing a passionate project, they want it to be the biggest and the best.
So I know you just finished it in the spring. Have you, and you're going to be submitting it, I imagine, today.
Yeah, we're actually still in post.
Okay.
We are actually just finishing up with the musical composition. And then, you know, Rob and I will be going in and putting together the finished print, which will be ready for submission for Sundance by August. So Sundance will be the first major premiere for the film.
And Tribeca? Are you going to do Tribeca?
We're going to do Tribeca. That's in the spring. But, you know, Sundance is first, Sundance is the biggest.
Yeah.
I have a really good feeling. Knowing as many people as I know in the industry and as much buzz as this film is getting already by having Steve Levine, you know, push it for me. You know, we got booked on the Wendy Williams show.
Oh, I love her. Really?
We're doing, you know, the New York Times Arts and Leisure section. You know, he's pitching us to Howard Stern. We're really going to try to hit it hard with the press blitz this fall.
And I would think, I don't know if you have, but I would think a good idea would be to get in touch with Mariska Hargitay and ask her to kind of do a little promotion. What do you
know what, though? This is, you know, and this is the other
side. Does she know about
it? Side. Yes, okay. This is the flip side about the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, to me, it's a legend. It's a film actress legend, a legendary woman. You know, to a family member, this is their mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that comes a lot of mixed feelings. Jane had a very, very tumultuous life.
Oh.
And towards the end of her life, which the majority of my movie is actually based on her turbulent years, like the 60s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's hard also, too, for her kids who really didn't get to have her raise them. to see things about their mom.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
It's a double-edged sword. You know, I love the kids. I love all of Jane's kids, and I would never do anything to hurt them.
Right.
But I want the story to be told.
Right. Did you have to get permission from the family to do the movie since they're still alive?
You don't have to get permission. You know, you can do the unauthorized, collection, because everything that has been written, you know, pretty much everything in my books is been put together from stories from people she worked with and stuff that's been written. But I am friends with her oldest daughter, and her oldest daughter did give me the okay and, you know, say that she, you know, it was time for something to be done, because, you know, she did an A&E biography herself where she talked about Mrs. Marischka's sister, Jane Marie, and she talked about her mother's addiction to alcohol, and, you know, she had five kids. She had...
I'd need a whole bottle of alcohol every day, too, if I had five
no,
kids.
No, but she
There's
you know...
There's nothing
she
wrong with that woman.
She took diet pills, you know, which were amphetamines, and they were given to her by the studio. You know,
of
that's
course.
What the studios did to keep their stars thin. And Jane was one of those stars, like Marilyn, that had a potato clause in their contract, which meant that they had to stay within 10 pounds of their weight when they signed their contract. Otherwise, they didn't get paid.
I have never heard of a potato clause.
No, you never heard of that?
No!
One of the most prejudicial, horrible things of old Hollywood, of the contract system. So bad for women. But, you know, all the big stars, when they were pregnant, they didn't get paid. They got put on suspension. There wasn't such a thing as, like, taking maternity leave and getting paid. They didn't get anything.
Oh, my God. When was that started?
That was all through the 30s, 40s, 50s, and it came to an end in the 60s.
Okay, got it. Mm.
But Jane was one of those, you know, last breed of the contract stars. So Jane had tremendous pressure on her to lose the weight. She wanted a family. She wanted her kids to have siblings. So, you know, she'd have a baby, and then she would have to lose, you know, 50 or 60 pounds in a matter of, like, less than 2 months.
Oh, my God! Oh!
And
I've been trying to lose that for 20 years! Oh, Jesus! No wonder that poor woman was a wreck! Woo!
And that's what the movie really deals a lot with, the emotional, you know, the emotional, you know, cycle that she went through between the hormones of having children and the body changing, and then not being able to eat, you know, like, and literally, I mean, I know, because her oldest daughter was 17 when Jane died, so she really knew her mother completely. She said she used to see her mother cry because she was so hungry and she couldn't eat.
As a fluffy person, I don't even know what that means, because I would die if I couldn't eat. So I'd be crying too. God, thought I couldn't get a Snickers bar, oh hell, I'd be robbing the local liquor store to get a Snickers bar. Hey, listen, we only got 1 minute to go, so I want to get out anything that you want to say within that 1 minute. I want to make sure that Haley gets an opportunity to tell us anything that she wants to say about her work on the film or any upcoming projects, or how we can find you if you have a website. Let's talk about you just real quick.
Okay. DiamondsToDustTheMovie.com. That's our official website. We also have a Facebook page just called Diamonds to Dust. And you can get all the updates through those two sites, but we're pretty much getting all over the internet.
I have my personal Facebook fan page, which I try to keep up with everyone on that. But one thing I just wanted to say about the film, which I think is the most important message, is just that we've done it. out of respect for Jane and to kind of show what a good person she was. There's nothing negative, but it is very real. But it's a labor of love. It really is.
Oh,
and
my
it's
God.
It's a really great movie, and I hope everybody goes out and sees it. And everybody buys a copy of it when it comes on Blu-ray, and I can't wait.
Well, listen, I want you to keep me abreast of this situation. When you finish it and you're ready to do the festival circuit and you need any promotion, let me know so that I can advertise it on the radio show, just like I did for
thank you
that
so
wonderful app, Can Fight.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll actually make sure you get a copy of my book so you can get an idea of what you'll be seeing.
Oh, please. I would be honored, and I would love to continue promoting that because, again, I love Jane Mansfield. I should know more about her, but I just love the idea of her, and I always thought she was so beautiful, and I wanted to look like her. So I love Jane.
You'll know more about her soon.
Yeah, I know. My God. I'll have a new idol now named Haley Heisick.
Thank you. You're so kind.
Well, you feel free to come back on the show anytime, maybe next year after the
comes
out, and let's promote it. Let's let the world rediscover Jane Mansfield.
That's what I want. I would give this movie away just so that it would be at a theater near you.
Oh, yeah. We want, and I'm sure the men will want Haley Heisick to be in a theater near them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The men want her now.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Frank and Haley, for coming on. Go to Frank's website, frankferruccio.com, FrankFerruccio.com. He's also on IMDb, and go to his website, Diamonds to Dust the Movie.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Haley, for being with us today. I'd love for you to come back as an independent person. Maybe next year. I'm booked for the whole year, but maybe next year I'd love to have you come on and talk about your life and career and what the experience was like from Diamonds to Dust. So contact me, okay? All right, Frank. Thank you, you Jersey.
Thank you so much.
You remember Jim Tan Laundry, right?
No, Diamonds to Dust the Movie.com.
All right. No Jersey Shore things going on here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Say goodbye to your fans, Frank and Haley. 1, 2, 3, go.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.